When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Ha! Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain, plantain. Plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Copa America edition. Today, you have me, Tosin, your host, alongside Dean. How you doing today, man?
I am good. How are you, bro?
I'm fantastic. Fantastic. Copa America has been treating me well. Life's good. Can't complain. Let's get started. Let's talk about Canada-Peru. My biggest takeaway from this game, and I'd love for you to interject whenever you feel like it, the red card changed the game. Obviously, red card changes game. I think that'll be the theme of this podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, Copa America, man, a lot of very lenient refereeing. I think we've seen the same in the other tournament going on this summer too in the Euros, just referees sort of just letting things go, and players get a little intense about that, players get a little passionate, and it's changing games, you know, and this was no exception to it. But ultimately, it took a goal from a guy I still don't know if he really exists, outside of Fabrizio Romano's tweets. Jonathan David got the goal in the 74th. The big headlines were also refereeing related. You know, there was a VAR check for like a header. I'm not a header, a headbutt from a Peruvian player to, I think it was Schaffelberg for Canada. I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah.
But he headbutted him and VAR took a look and they didn't do anything about it. So I guess, you know, you can bring your machete to the field if you want in Copa. It's great. Then the assistant ref collapsed from dehydration. Like, bro, it's summer in America, man. Global warming is a real thing. You gotta get your Gatorade in, get your electrolytes in, buddy. Like, you know, for those of you guys coming in 2026, learn your lessons now. Don't be the next example. But good for Canada, man. They look like they're going to progress out of this group. We'll see how they do it. But Jesse Marsh, impressive so far. I wouldn't say they were as good in this game as they were against Argentina, which is weird because Peru is way weaker competition. But they were good enough to get the 3 points. I actually thought Peru were better, red card or not. You know, so good for Canada.
Yeah, I mean, Peru still trotting up Paulo Guerrero, and he's 40. So, yeah.
Bro, that nigga older than me.
Yeah, and the only thing I can also take away is Schaffelberg's decent. So, he's benching Tejan Buchanan, who plays for Inter. So,
well, you know, that's the MLS for you, baby.
Yeah. So, other game, Argentina-Chile. This was a street fight. It was an absolute dog fight from the beginning. What I took away from this is that at Messi's big age of 37 years old, they still respect the shit out of him to the point where they're having three or four plays on Messi. They're like, fuck yo, we're focusing on him. We're gonna boot him to the high heavens.
I mean, that's what's necessary. I mean, he's still, no matter how old he is, he's still probably one of the top 10 most dangerous players in any league, in any sport in the world, really. You just don't lose, just because you've lost your elite physicality doesn't mean that you lose the brain or you lose the technique, you know, so he's still a very dangerous player. And, you know, it's kind of I wouldn't say it's a shame because I don't feel like Argentina truly rely on him. They're obviously much better with him. But, you know, he had to take a break during the game to get his groin massaged, you know, because he's not fully fit. And I suppose players are never really fully fit at this stage of the season after they've played a league competition and they're playing a summer competition. But, Argentina were comfortably dominating this game, even with how intense it was and the basketballs. And, you know, like the start of this game was probably the most intense start to any game I've watched this summer. It was just derby, classical type vibes, just kicking each other. It was great. But when you step back from the intensity and really look at what happened in the game, Argentina were kind of dominant throughout. And it's a shame for them, but it took until the 88th minute for them to settle the game with a goal from Lautaro Martinez, you know. So, good for them. They've qualified from the group. I believe they're going to rest Messi for the last game to help him, you know, recover from that groin a bit. But Argentina's doing what we expected of them.
Garnacho's going to start, so I'm excited to see my son. So we'll see. Two questions for you. Well, one's a question. The other one is a statement. I'll go with a statement first. I know Chile had down bad because they caught up Ben Brereton Diaz. He is from like the Blackburn area in England. I've never seen Chile call up an English person ever in my life with broken English, broken Spanish. So that's how I know they're down bad. Second of all, Lautaro Martinez. You and I are very familiar with him because, you know, Inter fan, and I watch a lot of Serie A. I think in a weird way he's underrated, but it also makes sense why he doesn't start for Argentina because he doesn't pull up the trees like he does for Inter. But I think going forward, what do you think? Do you think that Julian Alvarez should start over him, or what do you think going forward?
I don't know, man. National teams are tricky beasts. I mean, I feel like we're having the same kind of conversations about 20 different teams right now.
Yeah.
Like, should Harry Kane start for England? Yes, he should. Should Kai Havertz start for Germany?
Yes, he should.
You know, and I think the same holds here. Unless Scaloni sees something in training that he likes, I like the idea of Lautaro Martinez coming off the bench. I think before Alvarez sort of established himself in the team, I believe during the last World Cup in Qatar, Lautaro was a starter. And at the time, he wasn't fit, so he didn't look good during the games. And Alvarez stole the spot, you know. So I don't see any reason for him not to get it back if Scaloni feels that way. But I don't think either one of them is that important or that crucial to what Argentina does that it's a real decision for Scaloni to make. Just play whoever is playing best in training.
For sure.
And sub the other guy in on the hour mark.
For sure. Ecuador, Jamaica. This game should have been played in New York. Not even in MetLife. They should just play this shit literally in the middle of Brooklyn and just have it right there.
In the bodega.
Have that shit in the fucking in Flatbush somewhere, okay? That's where they should have played, on Eastern Parkway. That's exactly where they should have played that fucking game. I mean, the only takeaway I have from this is Jamaica's gone. And it's wild because we're going to get into this after, because we've got two more CONCACAF teams. Canada might be the only CONCACAF team that might qualify to the next round.
Listen, man, I am perfectly fine with that. I don't really care about confederations or as a concept, really. At the end of the day, you know, it's cute that the CONCACAF teams get to play with CONMEBOL teams in this competition, but it's not a CONCACAF competition, so I don't care how well or how poorly they do on them. I just don't. If the fans of those teams want to use this competition as a way to evaluate their club against other big teams on the planet, cool. But ultimately, as a neutral observer that's been watching Copa America, watching the Euros, watching the Gold Cup since I was yay high, I don't even really want these niggas here. I'm not saying it's bad or I'm not saying it's good. I just don't care, you know. But as for this game, Ecuador open scoring with a very fluky goal from Piero Hincapié. Like, people would think he meant it. Some people might think he meant it. I don't think he meant it.
That was a deflection, too. So,
yeah, I mean, Papi Cisse meant it when he did it against Chelsea for Newcastle all those years ago.
Because that's a good Muslim man. That's why.
Indeed. Prayer works. But Mikel Antonio scored Jamaica's first ever Copa goal. So, you know, applause to them. And they probably should have equalized that 2-1 from a penalty. But the refs kind of fucked them on that.
They got fucked big time. That was a penalty. That was 100 because Ecuador had a penalty because it was at the time it was 2-1 and Ecuador's penalty was less of a penalty than Jamaica's. They both were penalties, but I think that Jamaica's really got robbed and very unfortunate.
Yeah, unfortunate outcome. And Ecuador clinched it in the first minute of injury time via Alan Minda, who looks like a very interesting prospect for the future. Good pace on him. Good technique. Great counter attack goal, great finish. I expect to see him somewhere in Europe, probably like Brighton in the very near future, you know. But good win for Ecuador.
Yeah. I mean, Jamaica just came to show off the new kit, so, you know.
Nice gowns. Nice gowns.
Yeah.
Nice blood clot gowns.
Yeah. They're just Curry Goat Nigeria. That's really what they are.
And the cousins.
Yeah, we are. First cousins. Venezuela, Mexico. Santi Jimenez, yuck, and this is the worst Mexican side I've seen in my life.
Yeah, it just seems to be getting worse, man. And you know, I can't blame Mexico for being confident that they were going to beat Venezuela. Venezuela, before this game, had never beaten Mexico in an official competition, so I didn't blame them for thinking that, oh, okay, we're going to, you know, go ahead and rack up 3 points here, but that's not what happened. And really, it was a game of, you know, two penalties, if you will. Salomon Rondon converted for Venezuela in the 57th, and Orbelin Pineda missed in the 87th to equalize, you know. So now they have to beat Ecuador on Sunday. I don't know that I have the confidence in Mexico to do that. They just don't look good, again, like Jamaica. beautiful, beautiful gowns, but the football is bad, bad, bad. And from a leadership standpoint, they lost Edson Alvarez to a hamstring injury in the first game. And it's confirmed that he's not coming back in the competition. And it would be a shame if losing one player is used as the excuse for why they didn't play well in this competition. But ultimately, they have a talent void. They have a leadership void. And I don't even know who the fuck their coach is. So, you know, just from top to bottom, Mexico is just not what they used to be. And it's a shame to watch. I'm not particularly pleased about it.
Yeah. Rafa Marquez, Borghetti, they're not all walking through them doors. Chicharito, none of them are walking through them doors, man. That's tough. Another CONCACAF team who lost, Panama, USA. We're going to go to a live conversation between Mitch and Mateus because they have feelings about this game. And here we are now.
Reckless to run into him. I think that the Panama players, his eyes on the ball, which I think maybe saves him. Even if he's not necessarily going for the ball, he runs in the goalkeeper while his eyes on it. So he's not looking at Matt Turner, but it's still unbelievably dangerous. And we see that with the fact that Matt Turner had to be subbed out at halftime.
If he's not eye on the ball or whatever, he must be like the worst, if he's a baseball player, worst center fielder ever, because he's not even close to it, right? He's not even fucking close to it. And Matt's already got the ball in his chest, pretty much. Like, that's a foul. That to me is at least a yellow, if not red. Sorry, I said penalty, man. I'm too amped up. after even Horvath comes in, he should have saved the goal. He looked not great. Ethan Horvath, not great. Jedi Robinson, going to give him his flowers. One of his best games in a USMNT shirt, I thought. He's been sensational all the past four games. Three of the past four games. Really, really good performance from Jedi. Reiman Richards, iffy, I would say. Richards particularly weak at the beginning, controlling the ball, passing at the back. Reem, I have no real comments, but Richards probably needs to show something. Scally had his moments. Scally, I'm not going to critique too hard. Scally had that one cross into Pulisic that was really, really dangerous and just barely offsides. But Scally, nothing too much to say here. Now we get to the midfield. Reyna subbed off at halftime. Not his kind of game. Tyler Adams. We need to talk about Tyler Adams. After we go down a man, right, we're absorbing a lot of pressure from Panama. Like, really, like, natural, fair enough. You know, we're playing a 4-3-2. When we finally get the ball back, it's time to slow down. It's time to control. And it's time to, like, let's take the reins in a bit and, like, keep the ball so we're not absorbing pressure for 70 minutes. And this man decides to dribble directly at the Panama defense like he's Yunus Musa trying to break pressure, start a counter, and then we lose the ball again. This is around the 30th minute. This is after we concede, which was also his fault for going in way too hard on the player, leaving West really exposed. And all of a sudden they get a shot from zone 14 at the top of the box. Just not composed. Not composed. I don't care how dedicated you are, how much of a tackler, how much of a warrior you are, how much fight you have. If you're not going to keep your head in a situation where you need to slow down, get your blood pressure down. And if you want to be the captain of this team, you have to be in control of your decisions, take a breath, and pass the ball short to somebody who can, like, to Gio Reyna, right? To literally anybody. Really disappointed in Tyler Adams. And I'm glad he got taken off at halftime and he has the injury restriction, because it would have been so much worse in the second half with him. McKennie, Anonymous, and we'll get to the post game thing after where he's at the hookah bar, because I know people are fine with that. I'm not.
Real quick, I wanna talk about that real quick. Let's talk about it now while we're talking about Wes. I'm at a point. I think we differ in this opinion. Obviously a hookah bar is a little bit different than if he was just like at a normal restaurant. If he doesn't start against Uruguay and it was because he breached team rules to do this, fine. Okay, great. He's being correctly disciplined for this. But if he was allowed to go out and go have dinner after this game, that I don't have any problems with, because athletes are humans, and just because you had a bad day at work doesn't mean you shouldn't be allowed to go have dinner with people. Like, that shouldn't disqualify you from being able to blow off steam, enjoy your life. You shouldn't be just in timeout because you happen to be a professional athlete. That's not how any job in the world works. So I don't have a problem with him going out after the game. If he's like hitting hookah and like genuinely like doing that kind of stuff, like, yeah, maybe I have a little bit more of an issue. Or if he broke team rules to do this, yeah, I have a little bit more of an issue. But as far as we know, like, I don't have much of an issue, but maybe I know you have a different opinion about that.
If kids are listening, to turn this down. I don't give a shit or fuck what like your day job is. If you do this at Juventus, go, like, I don't care at your club. I get that. That's your job. Juventus is your job, right? You blow off steam after work, whatever. You lose midweek to Sassuolo, go to the hookah lounge with your friends or whatever, chill out, have your life. You are playing with the U.S. national team. This is your job. Your coach is about to get fucking fired on Monday if we lose to Uruguay. A large part of this is on your fucking fault because you've been out of shape these past four games, not running. During the second goal, like, your turn. I don't think it's the first, second, whatever. He's, like, not running. He's not tracking back. He's not getting in front of balls. Wes, buckle the fuck down. Stay in your fucking hotel room. Get your shoulders rubbed by your girlfriend. Get relaxed. Have a glass of wine, whatever. Wind down. Do whatever you need to. Don't go fucking out and smoke hookah. Don't go fucking out. Don't. Just don't. Just don't. And it's a lack of just, like, discipline and seriousness. I don't get it. I don't get it. You're playing for the national team right now. You just got embarrassed. Because I don't care if we're down to 10 men. We should not have lost that game. This is embarrassing. You don't do it. Just don't do it. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to just like to lock in. Lock the fuck in for the next 4 days. I do it at my job. You know, like, I don't know what to say. Just lock in. It's 4 days. Like, it's like the most crunch time you will have outside of a World Cup. If this was like qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers, I wouldn't care. These are friendlies. If it was again after the 5-1 loss to Colombia, I wouldn't care. Today, I give up. I fuck you. Fuck you. Next. Pulisic.
I run through these last few quickly.
Pulisic, nothing really to say. This wasn't a game for him. Playing him in a 5-3-1 at the end wasn't his problem. Although he should have blocked the second cross for the second goal. Balogun, sensational. Man of the match by far. Deserved the man of the match. I'm sorry he had to take a picture with that photo. Sensational. All game. Greg, Johnny, Pepe, all the other subs, I don't really care. Kevin Carnivicos, I don't care. I will criticize Greg immensely for taking out Reyna and putting in CCV and conceding the 5-3-1. We don't have to concede. We are better than Panama. We can play a 4-3-1 or 4-3-2 and, or, you know, a 4-4-1 and beat these guys holding the ball with 10 men. We can do that. We are capable of doing that with the players we have. And conceding possession and bunkering for an entire half is coward shit. Coward shit with this team. Trust your guys. And I put a little bit of that on Adams being so amped up at the end of the half and like creating such a situation where we were receiving a lot of pressure through the half. I think that Greg lost confidence in the team because of how we played at the end of that first half. But a good coach reestablishes that calm, reestablishes that faith, reestablishes that demeanor in the team to then be able to possess in the second half. And Greg didn't do that. He just conceded. He threw in the fucking towel. That's really disappointing from Greg.
Yeah, I think there was definitely interesting choices made in this game. But I think this is a game that we 100% should have won with 10 men. We created quality chances. We weren't able to put them away. West scored a nice goal that unfortunately Reem was offside for before any of the shit started going crazy. Panama had a player sent off late in the game for like a chop tackle on Christian Pulisic, which Coco Carrasquilla being out for Panama will hurt them going into the last game against Bolivia, which does help our case, which now looking into the future, we play Uruguay on Monday. They are already qualified for the second round. They beat Bolivia 5-0, which is what we should have done to Bolivia. Now we're in a spot where this game matters. If we had won this game like we were supposed to, this game did not have to matter the way that it does. And that's really scary because Uruguay is a genuinely great team who is coached by Marco Bielsa, who I don't think is going to take a foot off the gas. I think there's a good chance they play their best lineup and they try to fucking kill us.
Okay, that's enough from them guys. Talking too much. Don't give a fuck. Yeah.
I mean, they seem really upset about all this shit, man. Like, these motherfuckers are some patriots. Like, they're really American. They expect so much from their guys. I'm pretty sure at some point they would have gotten to some of the racial abuse stuff that happened with the players after the game. And honestly, I'm going to sound very cynical when I say this. Obviously, it's bad. Obviously, nobody wants this. But I'm of the opinion that people in the position these players find themselves in, I mean, they live very privileged lifestyles. They make a lot of money. That doesn't mean they're not human beings that don't have feelings, that don't deserve to be treated with respect. But there's also an argument that, hey, listen, man, there's really nothing we can do about stopping this, at least for now. And I'm not saying people shouldn't complain about it, but if I happen to be in their position, guess what wouldn't be open on my Instagram and Twitter account, my DMs or my comments? Like, I'm not trying to socialize with none of these crazy people on the planet. I'm just focusing on my job, going home, chilling with my family. They're going to be out there. You don't have to see it. Don't expose yourself to it if you can help it. You know, that's my only suggestion on that one. But otherwise, the U.S., man, I think you're of this opinion, Tosin. I just think the fans have unrealistic expectations of their team.
Can I wax lyrical about that real quick?
Please, drop some bars, nigga.
Because I'm wearing my club youth soccer jersey for a reason. I did this on purpose. Yeah. And you should go to the SPS store and buy that. But this is what I wore for my club team, right? I think that the U.S. fans have very unrealistic expectations about their team, right? And I understand the fire Greg Berhalter, because I was never with him in the first place. I saw immediately when Tim got the red card and they lost, they were like, oh, it's all on Greg. I'm like, we're playing 70 plus minutes with a guy down, right? You're not human. Your body's going to tire. You're talking about, why did it take off Balogun? He's tired. He's running around all day. Other guys are tired. Huh?
Wonderful performance, by the way.
Yeah, great goal. Great goal. I think that USA fans, because they now have a lot of players playing here, which is great, they think because these are players at these levels that they should be at another level. I'm like, listen, you guys take a lot of these teams for granted and you guys think these teams suck. I know you're not watching South American qualifiers, because if you did, you wouldn't be talking about the Bolivias and these people of the world the way that you talk about them. Because I'm seeing before the thing, well, we should get to quarterfinals, just get to semifinals. What makes you think that's where you should be? It's a very talented team, but the same breath, Farabale, relax. Like, you're still coming up in this sport. And it's like a lot of people, like, for example, what I'm seeing stuff on the timeline where, like, they're mad that Weston is going to go at hookah bars. I'm like, listen, I grew up in the era where Mario's leaving Barcelona to go home to go party in Brazil, okay? The hookah bar is nothing compared to Bunga Bunga party. So, you know, you guys are getting a good education to understand the world of football is very, very wild. And loss is going to make you groan, because I cried when Nigeria lost to Denmark 4-1. I cried when Nigeria lost to Cameroon. These things are going to make you an adult. Losing in Copa America and getting bounced out the group, that's going to make you an adult. So welcome to the pain of being a football fan, because we all get fucked eventually. Excuse my French. So that's the only thing I want to say is welcome to adulthood. Your team is losing, disappointing. That's what happens in football. Congratulations. You're an adult. Anyways, Uruguay, Bolivia. I think that Uruguay are the best team in this competition.
Easily. And Darwin is making an argument for being the best player in the competition. I mean, he still does what he does. He misses a bunch of chances. But guess what? You have to be there to miss in the first place. And he's always fucking there. He's always there. He's so active. He just doesn't have a quiet game unless he's playing against like Arsenal or some shit. But it's never quiet with him. And that's the kind of striker I like, man. Like, you know something is going to happen. And this is a good point of comparison for the U.S. Men's National Team fans. I heard, I think maybe even Mitch in his rant that we just heard, said that this is what the USA should have done to Bolivia. And it's like, guess what? This is not what you could have done to Bolivia, because you're not as good as Uruguay. Your coach isn't as good as Marcelo Bielsa. You don't have a player as good as Darwin Nunez. You know, like, I don't know what to tell you, but I wish the U.S. luck against these guys. I don't really think they can do shit against them in current form.
I want to add to your point. You also don't have midfielders as good as, I know we're not big fans of him. You don't have midfielders as good as Bentancourt or Gatte. Hell no to, like, you know, someone like Valverde, you know.
All right, Tosin, let's just move on. I get the point. Let's just move on.
Yeah, like, I get it.
Let's just go.
Long story short, Bielsa has these guys playing exactly how they wanted to play. And I said it, like, I've tried to watch international football without any club biases. Darwin has all the tools. And if he gets all them shits together, Darwin is going to be a scary, scary prospect. That is a...
Even at his current level, he's mm-hmm. very scary.
Absolutely.
If I see him in the box, I mean, like, now granted, he just makes contact with the ball, then the ball just kind of does what it wants after that. But he's terrifying because he's just always there. He's just there. Like, you can't keep him quiet in the game.
Mm-hmm. And they're very deep as well. They're very, very deep. So Uruguay press as well. They love what Bielsa is doing. The thing is, like, they win the ball so high up in the pitch. It's scary. So good luck, US.
Intensidad.
Colombia versus Costa Rica. I saw something in the first half that made me smile when they scored the penalty. James Origa has the ball. James could have taken the penalty. We've seen James take a million penalties. He let Luis Diaz take the penalty. And for me, I was like, that's why he's the captain, because he wants his players to, like, get their confidence up. And he's just sitting there and just being the general, just distributing balls. He's the one that assisted for the third goal. So James is a good leader for them, man.
I mean, I guess, but talk about a motherfucker that never fully fulfilled his potential. But, you know, that's a longer conversation for another day. But I think in our last Copa episode, I kind of skipped over them as a favorite because I wanted to give that fourth spot to the U.S. And obviously that was fucking dumb. This is arguably the second best team we've seen in the competition. They've played even better than Argentina so far. I think mm-hmm. it's Uruguay, then it's them. And then it'll be the team we're going to talk about next. But fantastic game from them. Nice penalty from Luis Diaz. Great header from Davinson Sanchez, who put up John Lukumi's jersey after the goal went in. And I'm thinking to myself, like, listen, man, if you take my spot in the team because I got injured, don't do the tribute to me. Let someone else do the tribute to me, because I'm going to feel like you're talking shit on the low. You know, I'm not into that fake brotherhood shit, man. And John Cordoba, a lot of Johns with the H in the wrong spot for Colombia. Yeah, they look great in this competition. Don't like the jerseys, though. A little too cartoonish. Too much bright primary color shit going on. I know those are their colors, and I know they usually have some nice jerseys, but there's just something about this combination that I'm like, Adidas, chill. But yeah, they might do this thing.
It looks like some real Hanna-Barbera Cartoon Network stuff.
Too much, bro. Too much.
And the last game of the day, of the round two, excuse me. Brazil 4, Paraguay 1. Brazil finally decided to be Brazil, and it all started because Vinny. Vinny decided, yeah, I'm that nigga. I'm better than all of you, and I'm going to start doing rainbows in the middle of the pitch because I don't give a damn. So,
yeah, it's you know, it's really nice to see a player that is probably the main candidate for the Ballon d'Or this year. Finally, I mean, this was his coming out party in a Brazil jersey. He's never played this well for Brazil ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we're recording this on a Saturday morning. Yesterday was. It was just great. It was great to see a Real Madrid Vinny play for Brazil finally. And his effervescence essentially infected the team, and everyone else sort of stepped up a bit more. You know, like, it wasn't a perfect performance by any means, but we saw many passages of play that were like, that's Brazil, or that's what Brazil should look like, even mm-hmm. if the jerseys are still shit, but whatever. I've already bitched about that. But just the combinations, that first goal for me, because that is my favorite kind of goal, because I'm a big, this is a team sport guy. I like when a lot of guys touch the ball before the ball goes in the net. I mean, that goal was just beautiful, man. Like, and he didn't quite round the goalkeeper, but, you know, he almost did put it under the keeper. But, you know, the intent was the same, you know. And Paqueta had a very interesting game, missed the penalty, scored a penalty, you know. So I know that the people on Paqueta Island cashed out last night for sure, man. Like,
that way is that way.
Way,
yeah,
you know, but Savio scored a goal on a rebound. I think that was probably his debut goal for Brazil as well.
I think so. Yeah,
he hasn't had a lot of caps yet. But yeah, great performance. I don't know that they've cracked the formula just yet. We'll have to see in the next game, see how they're playing their next game to decide if Dorival Jr. has figured out a good midfield combination. Because I think Paqueta on top of a three-man triangle of Paqueta as sort of like the 10. What's his name? Bruno Guimarães as the midfielder that, you know, the 8 that goes back and forth, sort of like the box-to-box guy. And Yao Gomes from Wolves as the 6 that just kicks people and doesn't get yellow cards. It works on paper, and it worked in the game against Paraguay. And before we move on and end the pod, I want to give a quick shout-out to number 3 for Paraguay, Omar, what's his name? Alderete. Omar Alderete scored their consolation goal. Beautiful finish. Just a generally good player. Vinny made him look stupid at the end of the first half when he didn't get that ball out of bounds. He was trying to keep it in bounds, and Vinny scored. But short of that moment, I thought he was just really impressive. Like, I saw him throughout the game making tackles, making passes. And I was just like, who is this guy? I had to look him up. And he already plays at Getafe in La Liga. Never noticed him there because I'll be honest with you, I don't spend a lot of time watching Getafe games. But really good player. But the headline from this game is that Vinny is here and Brazil might finally be back. You know, because again, every generation of Brazil has a talisman. They have that guy. And the last one was Neymar and the next one should be Vinny. And it looks like he's finally ready to take that mantle.
Yeah. And like you said, that goal was probably the best goal outside of the first goal. That was a beautiful goal. It might be better individually, but that was a really good goal.
My favorite goal for sure.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, Vinny's back, man. And like, I love to see Vinny just become that guy because we know he's that guy. And it's just like, yo, show it to us. And that's all we want from you. So it was great to see. And the world's a better place when Brazil's good, man. We all know that, man.
It's almost like the New York Knicks in the NBA. Like, certain teams just should be good. It helps the overall vibe of everything.
Yeah, it helps the ecosystem.
Sorry, I said the word vibe.
Yeah, yeah. So, listen, Copa America, man, we're going to have round three starts today on Saturday. Yeah, we have round three starting today. So, boy, these games are coming thick and fast, man. The football is footballing, and I'm excited to see who's going to win this tournament. Unfortunately, USA looks like Monday you're done. So, sorry about that. You're hosting a tournament. You're going to get grouped. So, that's tough. You got anything you want to add, Dean, before we get out of here?
Yeah, the term grouped, I'm not a fan. I don't want people to say that anymore.
Yeah.
Know? So don't bring it back to the pot, Tosin. Don't want to
hear it. Yeah, no, that's the I said it.
Who started that shit?
Some USA fan, probably, and I hate it. I don't want to hear that shit.
That's probably why it's happening to them, because they made up some stupid-ass shit. Like,
yeah.
A stupid-ass word. Okay?
You got bounced.
Get the fuck out the competition. It's over. It's enough. Like, stop making shit up, okay?
What Lil Flip say? Game over.
Indeed.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, like we said, there are a lot of content out. Go on our YouTube, go on our Instagram, go on our TikTok. Please subscribe. It's free to do that. Please just continue to support us. We appreciate you guys so much. We got some good stuff coming for you guys in the future. Take care, everyone. We're out. Peace. My plan to show.